It's a general election year in the Isle of Man, meaning on the 23rd of September, we, the Manx population, will head to the polls and decide who'll be representing us in the House of Keys for the next 5 years. If this is the first time you'll be able to vote, or perhaps you've recently started showing more of an interest in Manx politics but you're unsure about the election, stick with me, William King, for the next 25 minutes as I take a look at how the months between now and September will unfold. We'll find out what happens on polling day, clear up some confusion, and find out what it's like for the people running. We'll also talk about diversity in the House of Keys. And later on, we'll take a brief look at Guernsey, where a totally new type of election was held last year. Let's start at the very beginning with Manx Radio's election producer, Beth Espy. Beth, when this election happens on the 23rd of September, who will be able to vote?
Well, will anyone who's over the age of 16 and who has lived on the island for at least 1 year can vote in the election. And the Isle of Man is actually divided into 12 constituencies, and each constituency elects 2 members of the House of Keys. So that's what you're voting for.
OK, so we're voting for 24 members of the House of Keys, or MHKs. What do they do?
Well, one of the first things those MHKs will actually do is elect one of those MHKs to be the next chief minister. So that's currently Howard Quayle. The chief minister then will appoint other MHKs to become ministers of departments, so heading up things like health and social care, education. And over the next 5 years, ministers and the other members, they'll introduce and debate legislation before it becomes law.
So what stage in the election are we at now?
Well, fairly early stages, really. Currently, candidates are declaring their interest to stand in the election. So you'll see them popping up on social media, in the newspapers, here on Manx Radio. We've got our own election website. It's quite different this year. I think people are being quite slow to declare their interest to stand, largely because the nature of canvassing is so different. You can't go round door to door in a lockdown during a pandemic situation. So some people are choosing to delay their intention to stand just until things are a little bit more normal.
What do voters need to be doing at the minute?
Well, it's a good time for anyone who wants to vote in the election to make sure they're registered. There are various ways to check if you are actually on the electoral register. So it's a really good opportunity to make sure that you and everybody in your household who's eligible to vote is on there so that you will be able to on the 23rd of September.
Okay, so what happens next?
Candidates have until the 25th of August to declare their intention to stand. In between the 18th and 25th of August, that's known as the nomination period. Voters have got until the 2nd of September to make sure that they're registered, and then it's going to be the election day on the 23rd of September.
And as we try to decide who to vote for, there'll be opportunities for us to hear from the candidates in person, online and on the radio.
Absolutely, William. And that is the key thing. We need to know who we're voting for. We need to be able to make informed decisions. So the candidates themselves will likely be running campaigns which will involve visiting you at home, for example. So if you've got any questions, you can put them on the doorstep, pandemic permitting, of course. The Cabinet Office is also organising requisition meetings in each constituency. It's actually going to be in each parish and then each area of Douglas. That is a chance for voters to put questions to the candidates. And on Manx Radio, what we really want to do is to hear from as many people as possible. This is your election. So what are the views that you want to get across? What are the things you want to ask your prospective MHKs? We've got a panel of people that we're putting together from all different sectors of the island who we're going to be speaking to. So there's going to be some focus group discussions. We've also got the opportunity for you to put forward any questions that you would like to ask individual candidates if you just, again, head to the Manx Radio website. And as we go on, there'll be constituency programmes. You'll be able to see videos of your candidates. And really, it's trying to make the political process as accessible, but also sort of trying to find the fun in it as well. It doesn't all have to be boring and stuffy. You really want to get to know these people who are standing for election. So that's what we're going to be doing over the next few months or so.
Thank you very much, Beth Espy. Beth mentioned registering to vote there. Now is the time to make sure you're on the register so you can have your say on election day. Lewis Foster has the details.
People wishing to vote in this year's general election must be registered by the 2nd of September, 3 weeks before polling day. You can register to vote if you're aged 16 or over, have lived on the Isle of Man for at least a year, and are not subject to any legal incapacity to vote. Registration is done on a household basis. To make sure each person is registered, a household inquiry form has to be completed, detailing the eligible voters in each property. If your household hasn't already filled in the form as part of the annual canvass or since, you can request a copy by visiting gov.im/elections or calling 685754. To check if you're already registered, you can contact local authority offices, the General Registry, the Crown and Elections Unit of the Cabinet Office and the Tynwald Library.
And you can find all those details on the Manx Radio election website. Whilst we're busy making sure we're registered to vote, people wishing to stand in the election are getting their campaigns ready. Somebody who knows what that's like is Anne Crane, who was an MHK for Ramsey between 2003 and 2011.
The first thing is making that initial decision to stand. And of course, you've got to consider, what's your motivation to stand? Is this something that is just a one-issue campaign that you feel very strongly about? Or do you want to take a broader view on representing the island? And of course, you've got to bear in mind that the primary role of a member of the House of Keys is to make law. So are you prepared to put in the hours that's required to do the homework on legislation? Once you've made that decision and you've declared, for example, to Manx Radio, you also have to be very busy in getting official photographs taken. Are you going to go with posters, drop cards, manifestos? Are you hoping to do it all on social media? And it's quite a preparation before you even start to knock on that first door.
Tell me about door knocking then. It seems like it must be a massive task to get through the whole constituency.
Well, I would say it's pretty much impossible to get around any constituency and be able to get everybody in. It is something that is quite energising. It's a dodge sometimes to know what time of day is the best time to get people in, because if they're home in the evening, they're having their tea, they're wanting to watch the television programmes. But people generally are very welcoming. They're pleased to see you come to the door. But I do think also, going back to social media, that this is something that may change in the future. And I don't know that there will be as much face-to-face in perhaps even this election.
And just finally, have you got any words of advice for people who are thinking about standing or have indeed declared this year?
Prepare early. Make sure of your ground. That is the constituents that you hope to represent. And be ready for the out of the blue question, the public meetings, the media attention. And be sympathetic to your family as well, because they're having to go through this with you. And that's not something that they've invited, and can be quite hard on them as well. But to all those who are thinking of standing, I wish them the very best. There is no greater or more challenging job.
Let's now take a look at what happens on election day.
The headlines this morning: the Isle of Man's going to the polls. It's the most important general election for decades.
The freedom of the people to choose those who will be entrusted with leading the nation for the next 5 years.
It's a steady bit of business being done at the polling booths at the moment.
The polls have just closed. In the coming hours, we'll find out who
the total number of voters voting at this election.
The number of rejected ballot papers under each.
The candidates elected at the above election are
some of the voices of the 2011 and 2016 general elections there. Those people at the end announcing the results are the returning officers who oversee the election in each constituency. Returning officer for Glenfaber and Peel is Sally Bolton, who told me what happens when people go to cast their vote.
So you come in, the poll clerk will identify you on the register and then draw a line through your name, hand you the ballot paper stamped, and then you go to a booth. Part of my job is to make sure that there is nobody near the booths hanging around who might be tempted to influence a voter. I've never actually seen that. It's usually quite busy between about 10 and 12 in the morning when people are going to do their shopping and things. And then at night, between about 6 and the close of poll at 8.
So you mentioned the polls close at 8 there. What happens then?
Well, then we have the count. Usually we have a number of extra people coming in. When we are ready to start the count, we ask the police to shut the doors and nobody else is allowed in or out of the room. The atmosphere is usually good-natured. It can get quite tense. You see the piles in the trays going up.
And then there's the opportunity, if it's close enough, people can ask for a recount?
Yes, there are polling agents who are appointed by the candidates and they can come and ask for you to recount a particular tray. They can also look at the postal votes because there's certain criteria to fill in a postal vote.
And so members of the public have been in, they've cast their vote, the count's happened. How do people find out about the results?
Well, what we do in Peel and Glenfeibre is the main polling station is the Centenary Centre. So I usually go out onto the ramp and declaim the result. And there's usually quite a big crowd outside. It's quite a good atmosphere and it's usually quite a big event.
And Manx Radio will be broadcasting live from all of the counts as the results are declared on the evening of the 23rd of September. Let's talk about diversity in the House of Keys now. People of Colour Isle of Man is a volunteer-led organisation who work with schools and community groups to educate and have conversations about race. I've been speaking to one of their ambassadors, Hafiza Hussein Charles, who stood to be a member of Tynwald's upper chamber, the Legislative Council, last year.
If, for example, you weren't someone that was white and looked at Tynwald, would you feel represented? Would you feel that there were people that understood your background or your culture, your community, the way it interacts with each other? And it's not just about people from different races or people from different cultures, but people with different sexual orientations, different beliefs, people that maybe have a disability, whether or not that's something you can see or whether or not it's something that's hidden. There'll be some people that say, yeah, we do feel represented. And there'll be other people that would maybe say, no, we don't. So I think it's really important that with respects to an election year, that we really do think about all of the different communities on the Isle of Man and how we can best represent that.
Do you think that people from minority communities who maybe don't feel so represented in Tynwald are likely to cast a vote? Are they engaging in Manx politics?
I can speak from personal experience, and I'm interested in Manx politics and I'm interested in global politics, and I would be engaged and I would definitely be voting. I'm not sure if I can say that for everyone. I mean, I know people that are interested, but not interested enough to vote. And I think that part of that, and a large part of it, is actually because it doesn't seem very accessible. In my opinion, we do kind of have this island mentality that nothing's going to change and it doesn't matter. And that's not true, because if every person that said nothing's going to change voted, it would have a huge impact on who is actually sitting up there and, you know, making the decisions. Hopefully with the upcoming election, that's something that can change.
How can that change?
One of the main ways would be getting people from different communities, different areas and different backgrounds to stand and to really have that conversation.
You are speaking from a bit of experience, of course. You stood to be an MLC, a member of the Legislative Council, Tynwald's upper house, a few years ago.
While that was, you know, one of the toughest things I think I've ever had to do, it was definitely eye-opening and it was definitely an experience that was not good, but it was a huge learning experience for me. And I learned a lot about myself.
Why wasn't it good?
I think just the instant judging was awful. It was thought that I wasn't Manx enough to be able to stand or be part of Parliament. And I think that that's difficult when you consider the Isle of Man to be home and you have grown up here and you've been to school here, you've went off to uni, come back, decided to make it your home. And then for random people who don't know you to be saying, is she really Manx enough to be standing? What makes them think that they can understand the Manx population? And I was like, well, I'm part of the Manx population. That's why. And why is it okay for people to see diversity in any form, not just in race, in other jobs, but not in ones that are making decisions?
You can hear my full conversation with Hafiza Hussein Charles of POCIOM on the Manx Radio election website. The Isle of Man's political system is unique.
partly owing to its ancient foundations, and also as a result of the changes which have occurred over centuries about who can vote here, as Charles Gard explains.
The first elections for the House of Keys were in 1867, after a long battle to get the ordinary person the ability to vote. Before that time, the House of Keys was a gentleman's club, self-elected. When a member died, the other members got together and decided who they would like to replace him. They put two names to the governor, who chose one of them. They sat in private, and it was only on Tynwald Day, when the acts were read out, that the Manx people had any idea what the Keys had been up to during the year.
And so then in 1867, this is when that changed?
It is. The previous year, 1866, the House of Keys Act was passed. Now, this was in a way pushed on us by the British government, because at the time, we, for historical reasons, did not have control over our own finances to anything like the extent we have today. And we were told that if you want to spend your own surplus, you must come into the modern world and allow your people to vote.
And so who was able to vote at that stage?
Well, it was nothing like today. It was, first of all, anyone who was 21 and over, men only, and you had to have a certain property qualification. It wasn't a secret ballot. It wasn't for many years later that it became a secret ballot.
At what stage did we give women the right to vote here on the Isle of Man?
That happened in 1881. It wasn't a special act. It was almost a mistake in a way. They had altered an existing act and they took out the word men. So it was not specific to any gender. And that automatically meant that from that time on, women on the Isle of Man could have the vote. So it was in fact only certain women, property owning women. And it was another 37 years before Britain got round to giving women the vote.
And so at what stage, Charles, did we broaden the parameters out so that you didn't have to be earning so much to be able to vote?
It's not a quick answer. It was a gradual constitutional reform over many years that this was changed and that was changed, and the age that you could vote went down gradually to 18. Of course, now it's 16.
But will 16 and 17-year-olds vote? In 2016, turnout was at 46.2% in this age group. In 2018, I surveyed political engagement among sixth formers and found that almost 60% said they plan to use their vote in 2021. On Twitter, I recently asked for people's thoughts on this, and some suggested turnout in the younger age groups is likely to broadly mirror turnout across the whole population. Some said they hope there'll be a move within schools to get young people to vote, with one person commenting that a hustings was held in their school in the UK ahead of an election in 1979, and they've voted ever since. If you've got thoughts about this, get in touch. I'm at WilliamKingIOM on Twitter. Moving to a slightly older age group now, Kat Woolley and Ori Kerr are from the Manx Students' Union, who represent the views of university and college students on and from the Isle of Man.
Being from the Isle of Man puts you in a really unique position, because if you're studying in the UK, you can register to vote in the UK, but you also retain the right to vote on the Isle of Man.
Do you think students studying in the UK will want to vote in an Isle of Man election?
I think they will, and I think they probably always have. This last year, we've never seen politicians on the Isle of Man so regularly. And watching these conferences, I think people feel like they have a much better grasp of who people are and what they do and how important they can be on our lives. And so students, as one of the groups who have been most affected by border policies, coronavirus restrictions, governmental changes to finances and higher education, they have real reason to be voting. And they definitely feel that. And now that they've been able to see faces and names that they can attach that to, I think there's a real engagement.
It's been 5 years since we had a general election in the Isle of Man. And that 5 years has like changed significantly in the broader scheme of world politics. Like last general election was only a couple of months after the Brexit vote. It was pre-Trump in America. There's like been a lot of change and a lot of sort of, I think a lot of people have woken up to the world of politics a lot more so in the past 5 years than perhaps in like any other sort of term between general elections, and particularly with coronavirus.
I want to ask you about people standing for the election. How do they reach students who might not be on the Isle of Man but are able to vote in the election?
Posting anything through someone's doorway is not going to cut it. They're going to have some format of campaign online. It's up to the candidates now to make themselves known on social media.
Do you think that the engagement in young people is actually worth it for politicians? Because, okay, young people might be more likely to vote for somebody who's been on social media, but is that actually going to have an impact on the result?
I think it comes down to what you consider worth it for the politicians. Because if they're thinking about securing themselves a job so that they've got steady employment for the next few years and they can push a few policies in, maybe win another election, they probably don't care that much about a young person's vote. But if they care about the Isle of Man in 30 years' time, still having a growing, well, at that point, having a growing population, having new industries, having a secured future, anything that looks like a tourism industry, then they need to care about the young people's votes. Because without that, they are not going to secure a future for the island.
For the first time this year, anyone registered to vote will be able to apply for a postal ballot, whether or not they'll be on the island on polling day. Ori and Kat tell me what difference this will make for students.
The system that was in place before was a little bit convoluted. It's not as clear and apparent as postal voting in UK elections. And so I think that students are definitely going to, because they have a much keener understanding of the UK electoral system, having lived there for some months or some years, and understand how a postal vote works, they'll definitely be keener to take part.
It is important to remember that students do understand the UK voting system. In fact, probably a lot of people in the Isle of Man understand the UK voting system slightly better. And even that is quite a complex voting system. So actually simplifying this, creating a level playing field and saying, okay, we acknowledge that people should be given the ability to postal vote is a brilliant thing.
You can find all the details about deadlines for postal voting on our election website. As we heard from Charles Gard earlier, changes have been made to the ways elections are held in the Isle of Man over the years. But in Guernsey last year, an election took place which looked completely different from any held in these islands in recent times. I've been speaking to journalist from ITV Channel TV in Guernsey, Marina Jenkins.
For the first time, we had islanders not just voting for people in their parish, but actually choosing from 119 candidates, and each islander who was on the electoral roll had up to 38 votes each.
Why did they make that move?
Those that wanted to bring it in were really campaigning for saying, look, we're a small island. There are big, big questions and topics which everyone on the island cares about. Things like education reform, which has been ongoing for a number of years, travel connectivity, really big topics which everyone, well, a lot of people are very passionate about and a lot of people have got views on. That was where the swell came from. And obviously it was voted in.
How spread out are, they're called deputies in Guernsey, aren't they, the politicians? How spread out are they? Are there areas where you've got people without anybody close, that sort of thing?
They are pretty well spread out. There are a couple of instances where you've got Saint-Pierre-du-Bois, St. Peter's Parish, a smaller parish, and they have got five deputies sitting. Actually, based on population, they should have one. And you've got some of the slightly bigger parishes like the Vale and St. Sampson's that each got three deputies, but actually should have five or six based on population. Having said that, it is pretty well covered. I perhaps think it's slightly too early to tell whether there has been a real impact on the individual parish representation.
Electronic counting came in as part of this election, largely for practical reasons, I understand, with having to count up to 38 votes per person. Were there any suggestions of going fully electronic, as into electronic balloting too?
That wasn't brought up, or as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't brought up. And as I was saying, it's an election of firsts. And I think putting in, you know, electronic voting as well, I think would have just been probably a bit too much for all to handle.
Marina Jenkins from Guernsey with some food for thought there. And that's it for our 25-minute look at Manx elections ahead of the general election due to take place on the 23rd of September. If there's something you're still unsure about, make sure you check out the raft of information on Manx Radio's election website by following the link at manxradio.com. You can also send us an email through that site if there's anything else you think we're missing.